to all of you that I can have this sermon here, can be with you. I'm the second time here with you, and I'm very fond of it. We had a little mistake at the beginning. Wrong chapter, wrong verse. It was my fault. Wrong transmission. So, it can only get better. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for those is the kingdom of heaven." He doesn't say that because the poor in spirit are especially happy, but the poor in spirit are blessed because Jesus says that. When he speaks to them and they take it in, they are blessed. When his words touch them, transform them, they become different people in the sight of God and in their own sight. And I am convinced people around them will notice it and have a new view of themselves. Whoever hears the word of our Savior and lets himself be moved by it has a new life. But who are the poor in spirit? I was born in a Christian home, and my family took faith very seriously. So I took a strong interest in the Word of God and chose the way to become a Christian. And as my personal result of that was that I studied to become a pastor. By now, I have had almost half a century of time to think many biblical verses over. One of them I never understood. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Who does it mean? What does it mean? Many people thought these are the ones with not much Holy Spirit. The modern translations work hard on this verse and are not very successful. I think I'm not the only one who had a big question mark on it. St. Luke, in his gospel, makes it more simple. Blessed are you, the poor. That's right, and that touches my soul. There are a lot of poor people in the whole world, even in the richest countries, even in New Zealand, yes, even in Switzerland. Jesus can't give them money, not when he lived, and not today. But he gives them a very special purpose. He gives them a dignity that the world isn't able to give them. And Christians who take his blessing serious will do something for the poor, will offer them their help, will share their hearts with them. Blessed are the poor, because Jesus says so, and because Christians have a duty towards them. I thank God for leading so many poor men and a few poor women to my door, poor in money, poor in hope, poor in positive perspectives. But what does poor in spirit mean? In Germany, my mother tongue, spirit is the same word as mind, thoughts. So for a long time I believed the poor in spirit are those whose intelligence isn't strong. Sometimes when I sit in front of my computer and try to solve a problem, I think it over, try and try, without any result. I wish my technical intelligence was a bit better. so the blessing could mean something to me. But does it mean that? In a group for biblical studies, a few weeks ago, we were thinking this over and over. So I took my Biblical Greek Encyclopedia, 7 or 8 volumes, and looked up the word for spirit. But it has nothing to do with intelligence. It is pneuma in Greek, pneuma. What does pneuma mean? Maybe you know the word pneumatic, or new for a tire. Maybe the word pneumonia, a disease of the lungs. All those words are about air. So, pneuma means no other thing than the air that we breathe. The Holy Spirit is also called pneuma very often. Why? It appears like a wind and touches us gently like a breeze. You can't touch it, take possession of it, or fix it in a book. You don't know where it comes from, neither where it goes to, says Jesus. It's just here when it's God's will, just like the wind. And as God creates Adam, he blows his breath into him. So, pneuma is the word for the breath and for the Holy Spirit. What does Jesus mean? Blessed are the poor in Holy Spirit. I don't think that. That makes no sense. In the first blessing, Jesus doesn't speak about heavenly belongings. He just talks about the situation in our life. Blessed are the poor in breath. Blessed are those who have not much breath, not much power to live their lives. Have you ever felt that? That you're breathless? Have you ever thought, my power is not as great as I expected? Was there a time in your life you thought you can't come to an end and the way wouldn't go on? Who hasn't? I think only very lazy people with few ambitions never feel like that and are always satisfied with their strengths. I presented the result of my research to our study group, and the others felt quite the same. In that group was a woman who suffered of cystic fibrosis, also called mucoviscidosis. She is the oldest person in Switzerland still alive with this breast disease. With her strong face and with the help of thousands of peoples who pray for her, she can have a life with a lot of quality. As she heard that meaning of this world, blessed the poor in breath, she looked at us all and shouted out, that is my blessing. And now, let us be asked, is it also our blessing? Does it make sense? Can it be good if we are out of breath? Jesus continues, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Will God construct his kingdom with weak, poor people? Doesn't he like use the strong, those whose lungs are full of air and whose muscles are strong like those of bears? He knows us too well, those with the strong breasts and the endless power are bound to build a kingdom of their own. They make their own plans and put up memorials for themselves. They can convince people of their project and find allies to realize and finish them. They became famous and everybody talks with honor of them. So they build their kingdom on earth. Now, let's look at the weaker, the breathless ones. They can't make big plans. They won't easily find people to let them come true. They fight for their survival and ask from time to time, how will it go on with my life? Sometimes they could fold their hands and ask, God, what shall I do? My wisdom has come to an end. Where does the way lead to? And do they receive answers? What do you think? Does God respond to their prayers? I'm sure he does. It won't happen immediately sometimes. Sometimes you must wait. But the longer you wait, the greater your expectation will become, and you get more and more ready to listen carefully, and God's answer, it will reform, transform you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are not able to build their own kingdom, and they won't. How many people think, oh, what will come? And later, they thank God that their desires were not realized on earth. I never forgot a woman named Betty. She gave an interview in a Christian magazine. She said she tried so hardly to win the heart of a certain man. She prayed to God. She tried and tried, but God didn't seem to hear it. After many, many tears, she lost her breath, she lost her strength, and she understood that wish wouldn't come true. Later, she married a man named Jerry. He wasn't her latest dream, but they become happy as a pair together. Later, her husband, maybe you know about whom I speak, his name is Ford. Her husband became the president of the United States. She founded a foundation for alcoholic people, and as the wife of the president, she could achieve a lot. So, the will of God was done in a way she never thought before. A piece of his kingdom became true just because her breath wasn't strong enough to make the other man her own. So, let us look together for a piece of heaven on earth. Just when our own breath seems weak, let us pray for our future way in life and let us be open to God giving us his own breath and let him inspire us like he breathed his spirit into Adam's lungs. A modern translation has brought it to a simple point. Blessed are those who expect nothing from themselves and all from God. He will build his kingdom with them here on earth and later in heaven. Amen.